April 23, 1901. His wonderful love. Mrs. E. G. White. Sabbath, April 20th. Ellen G. White. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. I desire to call your attention to the first verse of the scripture I have read. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. John tried to describe the love of God, but language failed. He could only call on us to behold it. We must behold this love for ourselves. We must strive to understand as far as possible the love the Father has bestowed on us. Let no one feel that he is stepping down in becoming a child of God. It was the only begotten Son of God who stepped down. He gave himself for us, leaving his splendor, his majesty, his high command, and clothing his divinity with humanity, that humanity might touch humanity, and divinity lay hold upon divinity. He came to this earth, and in our behalf suffered the death of the cross. In the words I have read, our possibilities and probabilities are opened before us. It is possible for every son and daughter of Adam, through belief in Christ, to be cleansed from sin. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Our part is to receive and believe on Jesus Christ. Of him on whom we are asked to believe, it is written, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It is our privilege to walk in the light as Christ is in the light. We need not groan and murmur because the path heavenward is not a smooth one. Our part is to believe, to try to understand the words, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we might be called the sons of God. The assurance is, As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do we believe on his name? Christ has made an infinite sacrifice. He gave his own life for us. He took upon his divine soul the result of the transgression of God's law. Laying aside his royal crown, he condescended to step down, step by step, to the level of fallen humanity. He hung upon Calvary's cross, dying in our behalf, that we might have eternal life. Why is it that we are so indifferent to this great sacrifice? Does it seem a small thing that he should endure all this, that we might be called the sons of God? Does it seem a small thing to you to become members of the royal family, children of the heavenly King, partakers of an immortal inheritance? Is it a small matter to become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ? What sacrifice have we made in response to this infinite sacrifice? Would you grasp the things of the world? The world knoweth not God. Give yourselves to the world, and you will not know God. You cannot know him. We need to behold him. We need to purify our souls by obeying the truth. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we shall be among that number who can say, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. That salvation is worth striving for. Will we accept the privilege of becoming co-laborers with Jesus Christ, cooperating with him in building a pure and holy character, separating from us all that will make us impure and unclean in his sight? Will we accept immortal life? Do you feel that you are taking a step down, that it is humiliating to be a follower of Jesus? Ever since I was 11 years old, I have felt that the greatest thing I could think of and that I could strive to obtain was the forgiveness of my sins. I believed that I would receive pardon from the one who promised it to me, and he is ready to pardon every one of you. Christ has promised to take away our sins if we will come to him in faith. His pardon is for us.
No one can serve God by proxy. There are so many who seem to think that there is someone in this world stronger than Christ, upon whom they can lean. And instead of coming right to Christ, just as they are, giving themselves unreservedly to him, they reach out for human help. God wants us to have an individual experience, to form characters after the divine similitude. I cannot work out a character for you, and you cannot work out a character for me. We are to stand before God in our individuality and know for ourselves what it means to have the light and comfort and love of God in our hearts. The Lord wants us to take him at his word. He desires every one of us to reveal his character to the world. If all would accept the righteousness of Christ, we would not see so much sickness in our world. Everyone would strive to take care of the house he inhabits. He would purify his soul by obeying the truth. Consider Jesus Christ, our sacrifice. He came into this world of sorrow, seared and marred with the curse. He lifted from us the curse that came upon the world because of the transgression of God's law. I am glad that it is our privilege to receive the truth. It is our privilege to receive Jesus Christ and to trust in him at every step. Have we a right hold upon our Redeemer? Have you a right hold from above? If you have a happy feeling here, this is no proof that you are in connection with God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have we that living faith that takes God at his word? He has told us that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are we striving for that life? Are we putting away everything that will weaken our mental powers, that will confuse our idea of what Christ is to us and what we may be to Christ? God has a people upon this earth. Who are they? They are those who will purify their souls by obeying the truth as it is in Jesus. Those who have the hope of everlasting life will purify and cleanse the soul temple, that it may be a place where God can dwell. Then they can reveal to the world what great things he is willing to do for his children. He has told us of his matchless love. He has told us that if we receive his strength, we shall make peace with him. Shall we take hold of the strength of the Infinite One? God tells us that he wants our joy to be full. John writes, That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that our joy may be full. God wants us to lead those with whom we are associated to trust in him, not in human beings. He wants us to be joyful in him. Why is it, I ask, that the song of praise and triumph does not arise from our lips as we think of what God has done for us? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but by rightly representing what the truth has done for us, by showing that we have been born again, we can make this appear tenfold more than we do. There will always be those who will present in the worst light those who are trying to serve God and to purify their souls through obedience to the truth. Thus, Satan seeks to discourage and hinder. God's people are to stand where they will know who are of God and who are not of God. They are to stand in his strength, believing in him, and revealing to the world the power of his grace. We read in Zechariah, "He showed me Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto him, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee." Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Joshua represents the people of God. When Satan accused him, the Lord rebuked him and spoke to those that stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garment from him." And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." And I said, "Let them set a fair mitre upon his head." So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Satan tries to bring reproach against those who are trying to serve and honor God. He presents them in a questionable light as those who are clothed with filthy garments. God says, "Take away the filthy garments. You have no right to put them upon them. Take them away." My people may have imperfections of character. They may fail in their endeavors. But if they repent, I will forgive them.
This word of assurance is given to all who have faith in God. Receive this wonderful promise. It is not a human being who is speaking. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, "If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by, among these that stand by, the hosts of the enemy, who are trying to bring God's people into disrepute, and the hosts of heaven, 10,000 times 10,000 angels, who watch over and guard the tempted people of God, uplifting and strengthening them. These are they who stand by." And God says to his believing ones, "You shall walk among them. You shall not be overcome by the powers of darkness. You shall stand before me in the sight of the holy angels, who are sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation." Let us think of the great sacrifice Christ has made in our behalf. For us, he endured insult and mockery. He was tempted in all points like as we are, that he might be able to succor those that are tempted. There is joy for the believer in the promises of God. Let us make these promises the foundation of our faith. If we receive Christ as a personal Savior, his power will keep us from falling.
Here is the word of the Lord in our behalf. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. God wants us to be a help and strength to one another. He wants us to speak words of hope and courage. He is light. Open the windows of the soul toward heaven, and let the sunlight of God enter. The threshold of God is flooded with His glory, glory which is for every one who will receive the light. Temptations and trials may come, but that is not an evidence that you are not a child of God. He wants you to pray. Take hold of Him for strength and comfort. When we are in trial, when we are opposed and in difficulty, when reports are made in regard to us, as they were in regard to Christ, when it was said, "He hath a devil," we should stand where we shall not retaliate, but reveal Christ. When Christ was leaving his disciples, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Now there is a promise. Do you believe it? I do. I believe in a soon coming Savior. Let us prepare ourselves for His coming. Let us take fast hold upon the power that God gives us, and in His strength keep His commandments. God will help everyone who will take hold to cooperate with Him. How shall we do it? Shall we sit here in the great congregation that generally assembles in Battle Creek, expecting the Lord to pour His grace and light upon us? Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. He calls upon you to bring to the foundation stone gold and silver and precious stones. What is more precious in the sight of God and the whole heavenly host than His church on this earth? What can be more precious? There is a great work to be done. How shall we reveal Christ? I know of no better way to reveal Him than to go forth as missionaries to our world. I know of no better way than to take hold of the medical missionary work in connection with the ministry. Wherever you go, there begin to work. Take an interest in those around you who need help and light. You may stand and preach to those here who know the truth. You may preach sermon after sermon to them, but they do not appreciate it. Why? Because they are inactive. Every one who is able to go out and work should bring to the foundation stone not hay, wood, or stubble, but gold, silver, and precious stones. We ought to be at work in the dark corners of the earth. We have tried this in Australia. The Lord has revealed Himself, and we have built meeting house after meeting house, as we have gone to places where the people have never heard anything about the truth. I have frequently stood in the open air to speak to companies gathered to hear me. I have seen women with children in their arms standing for an hour to listen to me. There were men and women all around me. I have asked them, "How many of you have an intelligent faith in Jesus Christ? How many are Christians?" Those who are, hold up your hands. Not a hand would be raised. Did they not need Christ?
Did they not need a knowledge of the truth? Did they not need to learn lessons of temperance? Indeed, they did. God wants us to stand where we can warn the people. He desires us to take up the temperance question. By wrong habits of eating and drinking, men are destroying what power they have for thought and intelligence. We do not need to take an axe and break into their saloons. We have a stronger weapon than this, the Word of the Living God. That will cleave its way through the hellish shadow which Satan seeks to cast athwart their pathway. God is mighty and powerful. He will speak to their hearts. We have seen him doing this. We have seen souls brought to the truth. In Australia, I met a man considered free from everything like intemperance, except for one habit. He used tobacco. He came to hear us at the tent, and one night after he went home, as he afterward told us, he wrestled against the habit of tobacco using and obtained the victory. Some of his relatives had told him that they would give him £50 if he would throw away his tobacco. He would not do it. But, he said, when you present the principles of temperance before us, as you have done, I cannot resist them. You present before us the self-denial of one who gave his life for us. I do not know him now, but I desire to know him. I have never offered a prayer in my house. I have cast away my tobacco, but that is as far as I have gone. We prayed with him, and after we left him, we wrote to him and later visited him again. He finally reached the point where he gave himself to God, and he is becoming the very pillar of the church in the place where he lives. He is working with all his soul to bring his relatives to a knowledge of the truth. The Lord wants plants made in the dark places of the earth. There are many, many souls in our world who are hungry for the truth. Let us seek to understand how to reach the people. There is no better way to do this than to be compassionate and sympathetic. If you know of those who are sick and in need of assistance, help them. Try to relieve them in their distress. As you do this work, the power of the Lord will speak through it to the soul. God has given us talents to use for him. To one he gives 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Let not him who has but 1 talent think to hide it from God. The Lord knows where it is hidden. He knows that it is doing nothing for him. When the Lord comes, he will ask his servants, "What have you done with the talents I entrusted to you?" And as he who received 5 and he who received 2 tell him that by trading they have doubled their talents, he will say to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Thus he will say also to him who has improved the 1 talent lent him. But to him who has hidden his talent, failing to improve it, he will say, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then, at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury." Many today are hiding their talents. To him who has but 1 talent, I would say, "Do you know that 1 talent, rightly used and improved, will bring to the Lord 100 talents? How, you ask? Use your gift in the conversion of 1 man of intellect who sees what God is to him and what he should be to God. Let him place himself on the side of the Lord, and as he imparts the light to others, he will be the means of bringing many souls to the Savior. Through the right use of 1 talent, 100 souls may receive the truth. It is not to those who have the greatest number of talents to whom the "well done" is spoken, but to those who in sincerity and faithfulness have used their gifts for the Master. We understand the truth as it is in Jesus. Do we not want others to understand this truth? There is a great work to be done in our world, and we are accountable for every ray of light that shines upon our pathway. Impart that light, and you will receive more light to impart. Great blessing will come to those who use their talents aright. There is a world to be warned. What are we doing for the men and women who are in the darkness of error? Are we putting on the armor of God? Are we standing where we can resist the temptations of the enemy? Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Will you show your appreciation of this love? Will you try to be a blessing to those who are out of Christ? You can no longer find time to spend in criticism and fault-finding. We do not believe that you will do this after the light you have received at this meeting.
The Lord is not pleased with his people when they neglect to criticize their own soul, criticizing others instead. This is Satan's work. When you do this work, remember that the enemy is using you as a means of tempting others, in order that those who should be united in harmony and joy, building up one another in the most holy faith, shall be warring and complaining because someone else is sinning. Christ has not made you a sin-bearer. You cannot even bear your own sin. Therefore, be very careful not to take up any reproach against your neighbor. God wants his people to be free. He has been binding them together at this conference, for which I feel very grateful. Shall we not let praise flow forth from our lips? Shall we not remember that by the words we speak, we may either wound or heal? Shall we not remember that as we judge, so we shall be judged? We who perhaps have had many more opportunities than those whom we judge. Our hearts must be melted into tenderness and love for one another. We may criticize ourselves just as severely as we please. The one who criticizes another gives evidence that he is the very one who needs to criticize himself. Pray God to show you what you must remove from yourselves in order that you may see the kingdom of God. I want to see Jesus. I love him, and I want to behold his matchless charms. So do you. Let us show to the world that there is joy in believing in Christ, that his joy is in us, and our joy is full. When we consider Jesus, the propitiation for our sins, shall we let him plead with us in vain? Shall we refuse to deny self? We should preserve every power of mind and body to work to his name's glory. There is a crown for the overcomer. Do you want it? Do you want to run the race with patience? Then do not seek to find something to condemn in your neighbor, but look right to Jesus Christ. Behold his purity, and you will be charmed and will reflect his likeness. That is what God wants us to do. Will you lay hold of the hope set before you in the gospel? God wants you to have eternal life. He does not mean to cast you aside. Why are you so doubtful? Come to Christ in your weakness and infirmity, saying, "Dear Lord, there is no physician like thee. I want you to heal me, soul and body." Is there anyone here who will not come to him just as he is? So many are weighed down with the cares and disappointments and troubles of this life. "Carry these troubles to Jesus," he says. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest. This is what you want. It is found only in Jesus. "Take my yoke upon you. One says, "I should not think there is much rest in that." But there is, because it is heaven's plan, and there is rest in carrying out this plan. "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." He says, "I will give you rest." But there is something more for us. We have a lesson to learn. Learn of me how to find rest. It is in our meekness and lowliness, it is in denying self and following Christ, that we find rest. Do you think it is a terrible burden to follow Christ? He says, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." What makes the burden light? Because you are yoked up with Christ. What makes the yoke easy? Because he lifts with you, and you are cooperating with him. We are laborers together with God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Then do not go to human beings for relief. Letters have come to me across the broad waters of the Pacific, asking for our prayers. Christ was close by the writer, and they did not recognize him. Why cannot they recognize the one who gave his life for them? Will he readily give you up to perish? Will he cast you off after what he has endured for you? He hung upon the cross, and his last words were addressed to his Father. "Why hast thou forsaken me?" Why did God forsake him? Because every sinner is to be forsaken by God unless his sins are forgiven by Jesus Christ, who took the sin of the world upon himself. He bore it that sinners might have the very probation you have today. God wants every one of you to take steps in advance. He wants you to come out from the world and be separate. If you will give your life to him, he will make it a life of happiness, that his joy, and his joy is worth something, may be in you, and your joy may be full. This is the privilege of every one of us.
As you work for others, as you tell them the story of Jesus, words will be given you. Words are a power. Speech is a wonderful talent. But it is a very dangerous use of this talent to speak discouraging words or to be cross and fretful in the home. Just what you are in the home, you are in the church. And just what you are in the church, you are before God. God wants us to speak words of hope to those who need comfort and strength. He desires us to go out into the fields, which are everywhere opening to the truth. When Christ comes, he will say, "What have you done with the talents I gave you? Did you hide them in the earth?" He is represented in the parable as calling the one who buried his talent a wicked and slothful servant. Are there slothful ones here who have not worked for the master? God help us to save ourselves from the sloth that is eating out the very vitals of godliness. At the last great day, if our characters are in harmony with the character of God, we shall be caught up to heaven to see the King in his beauty, there to sing the praise of our Creator through the ceaseless ages of eternity.